This is Vectis Radio. It's 9 minutes after 12 o'clock. We've got Joe in the studio, and we've got a special guest in the studio from the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. It's not Peter Vale, no. It's Richard Hale. Good, it's right, isn't it?
That's me, yes. Yes, good afternoon.
When you looked then, I thought, oh, I've got his name wrong.
Got it the wrong way around.
We're going to talk steam railway in a minute, but sure. Let's talk a little bit about you. You've been in the role, and what's the role?
It says commercial manager on my contract.
Okay.
Yep.
On your contract.
On the contract. That's what it says. That's what we'll go for, yeah.
And you've been on the island since August last year?
That's right, a little over a year now, yeah.
And you basically came down and, you know, got a job, moved down,
straight away. Yep.
And where did you have to live for a month?
I stayed in the volunteer accommodation at Hamish Street, which fortunately is very, very good. Yeah, proper beds and central heated and hot and cold running water and a kitchen and things. Could have been a lot worse.
Are you in worse places now? Then I detected some of it. It was a really nice place, but I'm not sure about where I am now. Can you say that?
Oh, no, where we are now is lovely as well. Right. I think I'd prefer to be there than in the volunteer accommodation, certainly every day.
Okay, and you moved down from Huddersfield?
That's right, yeah, West Yorkshire, Huddersfield, yeah.
And obviously they've got the heating on up there already.
Probably.
And we haven't. Yeah, no, it's lovely down here.
Doesn't go on before October, regardless.
How are you finding it, the island?
Loving it. No regrets at all.
And you've actually got family here already before you moved?
Yeah, that's right. So my partner Rachel has family, had three generations on the island up till recently. So that was one of the reasons to look to move down.
All right. And you love it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, we love what you're doing with the steam railway.
Good, glad to hear.
It's just, I don't know, every time we drive by, there's you get that feel that it's being looked after, it's and so on, and sometimes if you're really lucky, you can drive under that bridge and there's a train going.
Just as it goes across the bridge.
I went on a ride a couple of years ago, and I was lucky enough, we did some film, and I showed you the film, and we were lucky enough to be sat in a carriageway, and there was the steam, and I just captured the steam, just lucky, just really, really lucky.
Wafting
out
past the window.
Yeah, it was perfect. Have you been on it, Joe?
I have before, not recently, I must admit. Obviously, I'm not here all the time, so doing things like that is maybe once in a while. But yeah, I definitely always enjoyed it when I was younger.
Yeah, so since you was younger. I mean, he ain't that old anyway. But I mean, it's probably changed so much
because
the museum. I know we start with the museum. Was the museum there when you were there?
I don't know if it was. You know, I'm not. I don't.
So, it's a train story. The big shed at the top of the site has been up 5 years now. It'll be so. Perhaps it wasn't there.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Only 5 years.
But yeah, since fifth year this year. Yeah.
All right, and because it's awesome. I mean, when you go in there, it's so fascinating. Yeah, I would say that if you are visiting, from my perspective, it was the journey itself. If you go from one end to the other, and you know there are options to get out and have a walk about and so on and so forth, which I think we did. It's about an hour or so.
That's right. Yeah.
Then if you're wandering around as well and having a look through the museum, you know you could probably lose yourself there for about three hours plus.
Yeah, we see a typical visitor would spend between sort of 4 and 6 hours with us, including the trip on the train and you know all the museum and the archives and stuff like that. Yeah,
and you can have your lunch there.
Late tea, restrooms are open.
That's brilliant. You mentioned about the museum; they've got special.
Yeah, something. So earlier this year, it's been a 3-year project, we've been granted by Arts Council England accredited museum status, if you like. So that puts us on a par with all the national galleries, the National Railway Museum, for example, and all the national museums.
That's brilliant.
So it's a real accolade, yeah, and the museum team have worked really hard over the past few years to achieve that, and it's the whole site as well, so it's not just the buildings and their contents at Hayward Street, it's the 10-mile round trip is the museum.
So we'll come back to that 10 miles in a moment. When you have a fabulous museum like you've got, you obviously got to keep adding to it and making it. So what are the plans? How do you go about doing that? You just find other stuff that you can put in it?
Absolutely, yeah. The museum and archive team is some 20 strong volunteers now that look after that side of the railway, and they're always on the lookout for things to add to the museum, yeah. Items to add, whether it be from auction or donated to us or far and wide, they'll cast a very wide net.
I would imagine that there's a lot of people that are, what would they call them, enthusiasts? I mean, some people say, anoraks, but
train spotters.
But I would imagine there's people all over the country that have got a story or a piece or something that they want to share.
That's right, yeah. And that's part of the work that the museum team do, that they'll look out for these stories and pick up something up and chase it down and try and find out the relevant information that, so long as it's pertinent to the island's railways, we're interested, yeah.
I was just going to ask you how many people volunteer, how many make it work, need to make it work.
So we have a core staff of around 30 or so, give or take, with seasonal staff. They're there really to facilitate the volunteers running the railway.
Yeah.
And we have a database of around about 500 volunteers.
Wow.
So some will volunteer, you know, several days a week. Some might volunteer several weeks a year. Some might only appear at Hayman Street two or three times a year. Whatever contribution they make, though, it's equally valid and a superb effort from everybody that comes along.
That really is. Yeah. Hats off to them and you. Yeah. Oh, 500 people is a lot.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. But we're always looking for new volunteers. You know, it's not the case that we've got 500, that's enough. There is always more work to do, whether it be, painting a fence or putting a building up or making tea or whatever. There is something for everybody, yeah.
How would they get in touch with you? Just so, for instance, they're listening now or when we podcast this, they're listening and thinking, hey, look, I'd like to be interested. I'd like to have a go at that.
So the, if they're on the island, they could call in at the railway and pick up some literature. We've got bits and pieces that list the typical duties of volunteers, all different aspects of the railway. There's some information on the website. Or they could drop an email to our volunteer coordinator, which is very simply volunteer@iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
What's the website address?
iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Okay, yeah. So you can check all the details as well. That's what you want to do. Check out the website if you want to get involved, if you want to know anything about the steam railway, it's all there. Does it go into great detail about the museum? Does it give it a flavour?
It gives a flavour. We don't want to give too much away on the website because we'd like people to come and have a look.
Yeah.
It gives a good flavour and it lists the highlights of what visitors can experience when they come to us.
So whenever I see the volunteers there, and I wouldn't know whether they were volunteers or one of the 30 that were, seasonal workers and so on, but they always have the uniforms and stuff. Where did you get the uniforms from then?
So we use, there are a very limited number of tailors that can provide that standard of uniform, if you like, and it's a bit of a trade secret, really. We use a tailor on the island that helps us with measurements and things, and then but unfortunately there isn't anywhere on the island that we found that can produce the authentic Southern Railway uniforms, so we have to bring those in off the island.
But they look authentic.
Well, they are authentic.
They look fantastic. Because you just look—it's like stepping back in time. It's not like if you were to go to any other train station and you would see people, and they would be in today's gear. They're obviously in gear from yesteryear, but it just fits with the whole ethos and so on, and it looks brilliant.
It is something we pride ourselves on, the way we present our site and our volunteers and staff to the visiting public. So the standard of that uniform is incredible, and we really encourage our volunteers to go the extra mile, and it helps them feel part of something special, which is absolutely right as well.
Well, it does, and you can tell that they feel special because they wear it with pride. You get
absolutely
that feeling of they're really chuffed to be there. And you get people, doing the platforms, blowing the whistles and all that kind of stuff. But what about the big job? Driving the actual steam train. Are you limited to how many people can do that? Have you got a few people you can call upon?
I think there are a core of about 20 certified drivers at the moment. So it takes...
As many as that?
Yeah,
wow.
Well, if you think we run... during the summer, we run 7 days a week
for
getting on for 3 months. And for the majority of those days, there are at least two steam engines out, which require two crew members each. We need a big core of people that we can draw on. It can take sort of 2 or 3 years at least to train to drive the locomotive. But before then, of course, you've got to learn how to fire the locomotive before that. So there's a ladder to climb before you get to the important job at the front.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So how old is the oldest and how old is the youngest person that drives?
Oh, goodness. I don't know the answer to that question. The youngest driver is probably in their mid-20s, I would think.
Right. Really?
And the oldest, significantly more than that, let's say.
You're being polite, aren't you?
28.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that appeal to you?
Train drivers?
Yeah.
Not myself particularly, but I actually know some friends that might appeal to, actually. Yeah, yeah, that type of thing.
Yeah, it sounds like a whole lot of fun. I'm guessing it's a hot job.
Oh, the central heating's always on, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm picturing them with a shovel and shoveling in the coal. And did they have to do that?
Yeah, the fireman does. Yeah, and control the level, what amount of steam it's producing.
Brilliant!
So because the route is so varied, uphill stretches and sort of downhill stretches, the locomotive's got to work in different ways at different stretches of the line. Yeah, so it's there's a lot of skill involved.
How brilliant is it? Yeah. I'm just picturing, I could do that. I'd like that job.
Yeah, half the summer's holiday.
Yeah, that sounds. I just picture me with a thing tied to a cravat and getting all soot all over myself.
Wiping your brow.
Yeah, how exciting would that be? I bet they could really get into it, don't
Absolutely,
they?
Absolutely, yeah. It becomes a passion for a lot of our volunteers, quite rightly, because it's so long to train and earn that competence. And you want to show it off then and get on the footplate as often as you can.
Yeah. How many people can be on the train at once?
So on the footplate, on the locomotive, a maximum of four. So we can have a driver and a fireman, and then perhaps an observer, or we can do some training as well,
right.
So we can keep people's competency up.
What about the rest of the train?
The rest of the train depends on what time of year it is, but typically around about 200, 250-ish is as a maximum.
That's more than I thought. Yeah,
200, crikey. Yeah. And that's comfortable, is it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. So each of our compartments will comfortably seat eight in each of those, whether it be first or third class.
Yeah, brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask some random questions.
So right,
every now and again, I'll just chuck out a question for you. The phone's ringing. I haven't yet worked out how to answer the phone on this desk. I think I've got to push this button here and that one there. We might have a call. Is that all right?
Fire away, yeah.
If you went to the restaurant, though, what would you eat? What was the thing you can recommend?
Oh, goodness me. The sausage rolls are always very popular. There was a chorizo sausage roll this year.
Oh, that sounds good.
Excellent.
Yeah. No, they've gone, they've hung up. That's all right. Okay. So, chorizo sausage.
Yeah, chorizo sausage roll, they've been very popular this year. But there's a full menu of hot and cold food, so, and a daily special, so you can have something different every day.
Yeah, but that's the one you go for.
I've been known to partake in a sausage roll, yeah.
All right, so if you do go, you go hungry.
Go hungry, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah, because there's hot and cold food, and then, of course, there's the ice cream for afterwards, and maybe a bit of cake in the afternoon, cup of tea.
Maybe.
Definitely. Yeah.
All right, so you've got some stuff that you want to talk about as well. I know Christmas is coming up.
Christmas is coming up.
When do you start planning for Christmas then?
We've already started planning for Christmas 2020.
Good grief.
So, yeah, it's a good spell. And although some of our visitors will have seen the Christmas event two or three times, which is lovely, but it takes... You know, any little tweaks or amendments or any little changes we want to make takes such a long time to plan and really put it on properly. We start planning a good 12, 14 months out.
Whoa. That's it obviously takes some planning.
Obviously, yeah, it really does. Yeah.
So Christmas 2019, what's got planned?
This year... very similar event to last year, so we've got the Christmas market, we've got entertainment on through the day with music and magician and all sorts of things. The big man himself, of course, is in attendance, and all the children will get to go and visit Santa. Winter Wonderland will be different this year again to previous years.
Right.
So, yeah, loads going on, and the tickets are on sale now and selling quickly, so get them soon if you want them.
So, yeah, check out the website, all the details are there that you can
all
book
the website,
now, but
yes.
You should start booking. Is it a specific days you're going to do this in December?
So we start the first weekend in December, which is the 30th of November, 1st of December. Then it's weekends up to Christmas week. And then Christmas week we run 5 days straight up to Christmas Eve.
All right. Okay. I want to ask you how it all works with where everything is and situated. But someone's trying to get hold of us. And I'm trying to hopefully fingers... No, for some reason I haven't mastered the art of answering the phone, which is kind of useful because it kind of interrupts the flow a little bit. But maybe one day I'll practice.
Fingers crossed.
We'll just keep ringing you up.
We got a new that's going to be so irritating as well, isn't it? I do apologise if you are trying to get through. I thought I had to push that button there and push that up there and it'll be fine, but it doesn't. So sorry, apologies. But you know, we're that just I say it just interrupts the flow of what we were talking
doesn't
about.
It? Yeah.
So where does you got Christmas market? Where does yep. That doesn't actually go on the train, does it? So where
not on
be?
The train, no. So that's at Haven Street station. So typically a visitor will arrive at Haven Street. We book them a specific seat on a train,
yeah.
But the rest of the time then is how they spend it is entirely up to them. So the Christmas market's at Haven Street, all the entertainment's there, and that's where Santa is as well, of course. And then you can take the round trip on the train, have a mulled wine and a mince pie, a peruse around the market,
yeah.
See Santa when you're ready, and have a good old half a day with us at least.
How brilliant.
Mm.
How brilliant. I'm just thinking Christmas present here.
Yeah.
For some people in the family.
That yeah.
They think, what can we get them? Something unique. And that would be a unique Christmas present.
Absolutely,
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And you can get it before Christmas.
You
and
can.
You don't have to wrap it up.
No, it comes right wrapped, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. So that's certain days. First and the
30th. 30th of November is the first day and the 1st of December, that weekend, and then it's weekends in December up to Christmas week. So we start running daily from the 20th
okay.
of December.
Do you, is that like daily during the day, mm-hmm. or do you do the evening thing as well?
So the Santa train's really just during the day.
Just during the
yeah,
day?
Yeah, I think the last train's 4:30, I think, something like that.
I'd imagine it's slightly dangerous, yeah. You know, if you're doing this thing, because it will be completely dark, and if there is a threat of frost and stuff
yeah,
like that,
yeah.
It wouldn't be very. I'm sure you cover all the safety aspects, but it'd just
yeah,
be easier, wouldn't it?
Running in the dark is perfectly possible.
Yeah.
You know, the signalling and the lighting allows us to do that. It does. We're not able to exchange passengers at Smallbridge Junction in the dark,
right.
So there isn't that connection with the rest of the island there. So we do rely on people coming through Haven Street for the later trains. But it's perfectly possible to run after dark.
I'm just going to chuck a question at you. Tell me if you don't want to answer it. Last time Peter was in, he said that there may have been a plan to extend the
uh-huh.
railway. Is there going to be an extension? And I don't, you know, it's not that subject that we don't want to talk about, but it is there a plan to extend it?
So there is a plan, but it's not in the foreseeable future.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine you then, there's a big main road that you more or less go up to, isn't there?
Yes.
And you can't just go across that main road line.
No. So, at the other end there, up at Wootton, yeah, the station that we have is a little bit further north than the station that originally existed,
yeah.
Which was under the other side of the road. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I look at that and I think, well, hang on a minute, surely that steam railway is more important. Just go
yeah.
across the road.
Yeah,
it'd be
yeah.
lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
Just dig it up.
Yeah. Next stop, Whippingham.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah, a few houses. I'm sorry, love, but we're going to have to remove you.
You don't need a back garden.
Yeah, that's just greedy. No, move in with your neighbours. I'm sure it'll be fine. So will that happen in our lifetime? I say our lifetime. I'm a lot older than you, I'm sure.
So let's put it this way. The railway strategic vision is still to have an extension at both ends of the line as it currently sits. Whether it will, the time scale isn't fixed, so it may happen, it may not happen.
All right, I think I might have fixed the telephone situation.
Oh, very good.
Hi, who's this?
Hey, afternoon, Geezer. I always listen when you've got people talk about trains in.
Oh, that's good. So yes. It's Uncle Arthur.
Question for these guys. Given that you want everything to do with the Isle of Wight Rovers, etc., etc., have you given any thought to the last of the underground trains when they get rid of them being a part of your collection?
I don't know what the official word is on this. We many years ago, when the upgrade of the Island Line trains was first announced, we did make a register of interest that we would like to take one of the underground trains into preservation, but we're yet to hear anything more than that.
They're running a bit thin on the ground now, aren't they? I think we're down to one.
There's only one running at the moment, I think, yes.
So you haven't got an awful lot left to choose from now, have you?
Have you been on the steam train?
Yeah, many times.
So what?
Many times.
What's your thoughts?
Great.
I thought you were going to say that.
You know, the thing is, I've said before, and the guys probably, if they've heard me mention it, will know what I'm going to say. To my mind, It needs to be extended to Esplanade in Ryde.
Yeah.
Not St John's.
Well, Esplanade. Bypass the other one.
Yeah, because if it's sitting there blowing off steam, it's visible right round from Southampton to the Witterings. And all you can
see is
steam blowing off. And as a kid, when I used to see the steam at Kingswear and Paignton, I wanted my dad to take me round there. So if you've got people over there in Pompey, and you've got people over there in Southampton, well, not Southampton, but down that water, and you see the steam blowing off at Ryde St John's, can't see it. You see it blowing off at Esplanade, it's visible right round the south coast.
You sound like you're on a train. You sound like you're on a train.
Oh, that's my van.
Was it a steam van?
Yeah, I was going to say it could be my knees, but it's definitely my van. It needs a bit of attention. But anyway, no, that's all I was going to say. You know, to my mind, it needs to get round to there. And if they're going to do something, because they'll have to do something for the tunnels to get the bigger train through, they're going to have to lower the track. So there's no excuse to not be able to get round there.
Yeah. So I'm just listening to your van. That sounds like a train.
Well, yeah, there you go.
When you hear the podcast back, you'll be able to hear what I mean.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know how to get onto a podcast, would I?
Well, I'll let you know.
You're doing well to get me on a mobile phone, let alone anything else.
Thanks for your call,
anyway,
Arthur.
I wish them all good luck.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Bye.
Thanks, Arthur. Cheers. So there you go, he's a big fan. He likes his steam train. In actual fact, he is like, if we wound the clock on a few years, where he actually lives would be a perfect place to stop the train.
Oh, yeah?
Because he has his own post office museum.
All right.
And it's at the end of Fairley Road.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I think the old train line was at the end of his garden. So you just think if you just came across a couple of miles from where you are,
I think he'd serve tea from his garden shed.
He would. he would. He does that. But if you go in and visit him on specific days, he'll show you around his post office museum. He's got about 200 plus post boxes.
Right. Okay.
And he's actually got a where you would go in like an actual post office. Where he's bought all the old post office stuff, so you go in and you've got the things that you can stamp your stuff and so on and so forth. It's a brilliant place.
Sounds
to have
great.
It.
Yeah,
I mean, you could call that the last post, couldn't you, or first post, or
I
whatever.
See what you did there. Very good.
So you've got stuff going on for Christmas. What about between now and then? Because there's a lot of time.
The hall just doesn't stop, really, does it? We've just come out of a very busy summer with trains running every day still. We're running every day through the end of September, and then it tails off a little bit in October. But this weekend coming, cider and cheese weekend.
Oh.
What a great weekend. It's third year this year. It's been growing and growing and growing. Free to get in, no charge to get in. You don't have to ride the train if you don't wish to. But there's cider and cheese go all weekend long. And with the weather forecast as it is, what could be better? Sitting in the station yard with a platter of cheese and biscuits and a pint of cider.
You just got excited then.
Yeah,
so
that's got my attention.
Go on,
there you go.
You're a cider drinker?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a cheese eater.
And a cheese, what, all sorts of cheese?
Yeah, I don't mind. Well, I'm not too adventurous, but, you know.
Cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
If it's cheese, I think there's
30 or so ciders on this weekend.
30 ciders?
Yeah. I don't reckon I can get through 30, but
I'll
give it a go. I'll have a go.
Saturday and Sunday. Pace yourself.
Yeah, 15 on Saturday, 15 on Sunday. So that's this weekend.
That's this coming weekend.
And what time can we turn up?
The bar will be open from 11.
Bar's open from
11. The train's running all day from 10:05, so you could do a bit of both.
Yeah.
But if you want to come along and you don't wish to travel the train, there's no admission charge.
Okay, free of charge.
Free entry.
And how brilliant is that?
Yeah.
And I'm guessing you've got to pay for the cider, that's not free.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I'm afraid so, sorry. Despite my best efforts.
So that's this weekend, Saturday
that's
and Sunday?
This weekend, Saturday and
what
Sunday.
What other stuff have you got?
Following weekend, we've got our final railway gala event of the year. And this one, we've called it Four Island Classes. So at Hayman Street, we've got four classes of steam locomotive that run on the island, from our Adams O2, Calborn.
Right.
We've got the A1X Terriers. We've got the Iverts now as well, and the Austerities. So there's at least one of each of those in steam over the weekend.
Brilliant.
So there's three passenger trains and a goods train running as well in the afternoons.
Excellent.
There's plenty to see.
You're busy for the next couple of weeks then.
Yes.
And we're going to find out beyond that. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to ask you, do you want to pick a song?
Come back to me later on for a song, shall we?
What are the commercial? Because we've got to come out with a song, you see, and you've got to pick it.
All right, okay.
He's struggling now with a song, isn't he?
I'm struggling now.
No pressure, is he? Come on. What sort of music do you like?
Oh, I have a very eclectic taste, actually.
Go on, go for something really obscure.
Where are we going? Let's see. I don't know, anything you like. I'd put me right on the spot now.
All right, we'll start playing the commercial break, and in the meantime, we'll talk you around.
We'll cook something, yeah.
Is there a song we can play dedicated to your wife?
No. Let's see.
Even more on the spot.
Even more on the spot now. Yeah.
Dangerous right. one now.
No, what does she like? What was she listening to the other day? I can't right. remember.
We'll take a quick commercial break.
Cross the break.
We'll come back. I never thought that would be the toughest question of all.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Vectors Radio. FM 104.6.
Elton John, Island Girl on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. This is Vectis Radio's Macca, and we've got Joe in, and we've got Richard in as well. And I was just thinking of you and your accent. I was going to do that accent, because we were talking about accents. You're from Huddersfield.
We were, yes, yeah.
And yours is still as strong as ever, and your kids have losing their accent, which you're disappointed
about.
Yeah. But you're going back home for a holiday soon.
That's right, yeah, a few days back on the mainland again.
They will be back into it, guaranteed.
Fingers crossed.
They will. you wanted to talk about certain things, but we've got to talk about this award.
Yeah, okay.
Which is fabulous. Because it's not just any old award, is it?
Not any old award, no. There's a lovely cast bronze plaque on the wall in our refreshment rooms this year. So every year our trade bond, if you like, the Heritage Railway Association offer out nominations for various different awards, and we were nominated in the Best Large Attraction Award or Large Railway Award, which we were fortunate enough to be presented with in Birmingham last year. Pete Waterman was there on the stage handing out the award, which it's phenomenal. So that effectively makes us the best heritage railway in the country this year.
Fabulous.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Really is fabulous. Mm. And Pete Waterman, you know Pete Waterman. He's big boss music producer, yeah?
No.
He's responsible for Kylie, isn't he?
Everyone's looking at me now.
Yeah, Kylie Minogue, when she first got going, he produced her songs. And so on. There was this big thing back in the late 1980s of Stock, Aitken and Waterman, and he was the Waterman. I'm guessing that's the
one. Oh, okay.
And he's also a big steam fan as well.
Yeah, big rail enthusiast. Yeah.
He's been to the island as well.
He has been to Ireland, yeah.
I bet there's some quotes that he said about the island.
I'm sure there are. I don't know them.
All right, okay. We'll dig them out for another
day. I'm sure they're around somewhere, yeah.
I'm sure he's very complimentary about that.
He was, yeah.
So he's there and you'll get...
He was there, yeah. Presented.
Did you get the award?
It was presented to our chairman, but I was there along with one or two others on the stage to receive it, yeah.
Brilliant.
It was a really nice evening.
No, how fantastic is that? And that's like a reward for all those people that, you know, you mentioned, all those people that work and give up their time.
Absolutely. Know, if it wasn't for the volunteers, we wouldn't have a heritage railway. We wouldn't have a railway. So,
fantastic.
It's all to them.
Good tribute to them.
So absolutely.
Well done, everybody. There's other things that are coming up soon. Tell me about them.
Plenty going on. So we were just about to start a new infrastructure project, if you like, at Haven Street. We were very fortunate to be awarded some funding. A granting body has allowed us some funding to put up an events barn, a structure that's going in the field at Haven Street there, that'll give us a permanent site for events. So at the moment we hire in a marquee, which is brilliant, and we own a marquee as well, but they're not ideal for, you know, some of the higher standard events that we want to put on in the future.
Brilliant.
So we've got this permanent structure going in. Should be ready with any luck, touching wood, for Easter next year. And that could revolutionise or certainly allow some of the events to evolve that we currently put on. Yeah.
So what does that entail then? Is that because I'm visualising you'd have something that's all weather, so you'd have a roof and a floor instead of you know, or is it just a roof?
Yeah, no, it's a proper structure, if you like. So yeah, it will have the look of a barn to fit in with the. With its surroundings.
Brilliant.
But it will have modern facilities, so we'll have all the infrastructure in there in terms of networking and tills, and you know, there's perhaps a bar going in and loos and stuff, and it will give us lots of space to expand our events.
Yeah. Fantastic. Because that then, you know, there's no limitations then at all, is there?
That's right.
You
don't
have to worry about the weather too much. Mm. And you must have an idea of first event.
It depends a little bit on the time, yeah, but we're hoping certainly it'll be ready in time for Easter. If not, we'll push it back a bit later on into the early summertime, perhaps next year. But
you're being a bit cagey now.
Have I
touched something there?
No, not at all. No. The plans are just in flux at the moment. it's all happening very quickly, so we're trying to. And as we mentioned, it takes such a long time to plan some of these events. Sure. So we've got to make sure we get it right.
How brilliant is that, though?
Absolutely,
because let's be honest, you can never. Ever, you know, the weather will happen, whatever.
Yes.
You can't foresee what's going to happen.
No, you can't legislate for the weather. But
I mentioned whilst we were listening to Elton John that we did an outside broadcast from the Donkey Sanctuary at the weekend, and it was absolutely glorious. It was like a summer's day. It was like July, and it was hot, and you could feel your skin burning and so on and so forth. Exactly the same day year previous to that it chucked it down with rain, and it was freezing cold all day. Yeah. So having that kind of system in place, that's brilliant.
Yes. Yeah, that really well approved some of our plans, yeah, so we can go ahead regardless.
Has work started on it yet?
Not yet, no. The first sod is due to be cut imminently. We're just waiting on a few final bits and pieces and details to be agreed, and then we'll be away.
So then that's all weather. So I'm guessing you'd have all sorts of things going on in wintertime and so on.
Yeah, hopefully. So one of the things that we're really working hard to do is extend the shoulders of the season so that we can provide more for islanders, if you like. So we're very much an attraction that brings holidaymakers in, but we recognise that we need to do more for islanders as well.
Brilliant.
So you know that in shoulders of the season is what we're aiming for.
Yeah, especially as they've just extended the break between Christmas and summer, because obviously you get 5 weeks in the summer now.
Yes,
and then you get get 2 weeks in October, November time.
That's right.
So you know, I did raise my eyes a little bit about that. I mean, it doesn't bother me because you know kids have left home and so on and so forth. Mm. So I'm going to worry about that. So I'm not going to poke my nose in. But I did think, well, hang on a minute. Surely 6 weeks in the summer is better than you know than five. Mm. But now you think, well, hang on a minute. Okay, you broke it up, but you've got 2 weeks where predominantly the weather's not going to be too fantastic. So if you've a place where you've got some events and so on and so forth,
yeah, and we can plan them. Yeah. To be indoors or at least undercover.
Yeah.
You know, we could turn the heating on if need be. Put 50 pence in the meter, you never know.
Really?
Mm.
Put the heating on.
I know.
Yeah. See, that's what you'd have up in Huddersfield now. You'd have the heating on, wouldn't you?
Yes, I think my parents have had the heating on for weeks. Yeah, I refuse to put it on before we get to October down here, absolutely.
Well, our house is like December, and only if the wife says that's okay.
Really?
Yeah, it's different. Right. I mean, you know, normally it's the ladies that want to put the heating on, but no, she won't let me have the heating.
Oh, really? Oh, no, it's
not. Put another jumper.
Get a blanket.
Yeah, that's
quite
what she got me, a blanket. Yeah. Choose which colour blanket you want. That's what she said. Okay, you've got loads of other things going on, but how you know what's it looking like for next year? What's the main thing that you're working on for next year?
Well, next year, big summer event will be the steam show again. 46 years we've been going at that
46
now.
46 years. Yeah, that is incredible.
And what's entertaining, perhaps, is that the same people are organising it as they were 45 years ago as well, which is phenomenal effort.
That's Steve Oates?
I didn't mention any names, but as you brought it up, yes.
Sorry. Can we mention Steve Oakes?
We can mention
him. He has been in here before.
Has he?
And obviously, he has a big, long career in radio, and he's one of those guys that started up the my original place of radio work, if you like. And he'd be doing that 46. And he don't look old, does he? He don't look like an old man. He
certainly doesn't like he's been doing it 45 years, does he?
No, he doesn't. And he's very entertaining. He knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And that steam railway, that steam extravaganza, is just a fantastic thing. 46 years. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Two of me. And more.
And more, yeah. And more. I don't know of any other event that takes place. I think it's even older than the Garlic Festival.
I don't know.
Is it the oldest?
Could easily
event?
Be, yeah.
It's the oldest event. Yeah. We don't shout about these things enough. So I'm going to do my homework and say, what is the oldest event? I mean, Cows Week's probably could be a little bit older.
Could be.
But that is, that extravaganza is, because you always see, I mean, you always know what's coming on, because it's a whole weekend, and you see these steamrollers going from one place to another and holding up the traffic, and you think people are moaning and groaning, but hey, it's only once a blooming year. Get over yourself.
Yeah, just those 4 days, August Bank Holiday weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really the highlight of the calendar for us. Particularly, it's just a lovely weekend. It's busy. There's lots to see and do, and it's everybody's in a good mood when the sun's shining.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
How many people visit over the weekend?
This year was just shy of 7,500 people over the weekend.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind it would have been a bank holiday, so there would have been other things going on as well.
Yeah, yeah. And the weather was incredible this year, wasn't it? A lot of people have been on the beach and so on.
And I mean, when you think of the island, and people used to say, if you do things, you've got to do them at the right times because there's so much going on. And if you look at bank holiday, August bank holiday, there is a lot of other things going on. So to get 7,500 people, that's incredible. You think there's the mod weekend for a start.
Yeah. Scooter
Rally. There's just so many other things. 7,500 people. That's incredible. That really is. Mm. Is that the most you've ever had on site?
I don't think so. No, I think there have been perhaps some railway gala events that have been busier for a shorter period. But that's certainly the busiest weekend that we typically would see during the year. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Any other events you want to tell us about
next year? Might follow a very similar sort of pattern to this year's calendar. It's all to be finalised and agreed in our final planning meeting of the year a bit later on, but we'll hopefully see lots of railway activity, lots of family events. Of course, Wizard Week and Fright Night are coming up as well. Two of my favourite events, those. Wizard Week, October half term.
Right.
With a sort of Halloweeny theme.
Fright Night?
And Fright Night on Halloween, All Hallows Eve this year is perhaps my favourite event of the year, that one.
Can you tell us a little bit more about Fright Night? And
So this year, it's themed again this year. I'm not going to let on what the theme is, because it might give the game away a little bit. But safe to say, we don't recommend it for younger children. It's more sort of older children and adults, that one.
Right.
Things definitely go bump in the night.
Okay. Where can we find out more?
There's a little bit of information on the website, but we try to keep our cards close to our chest with that one, and we have a lot of fun with it.
So is it a case of the details are there, and there won't be any more details, but there's a specific date?
That's right. So
is it Halloween itself?
It's Halloween evening, yes, yeah.
What date's that then? What date's that this year?
31st.
I knew he was going to say that. What day?
It's a Thursday this year.
It's a Thursday.
But it is during the half-term holidays, so that works out nicely.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, it doesn't, because you don't want kids there, do you?
Well, it means that everybody can come along if they wish to. It's Wizard Week is more family oriented, so during the day, even on Halloween evening.
Wizard Week. Tell us a bit. You can tell us about.
So that's a bit more about the soft and fuzzy side of Halloween. We're a competition every day for the best costume that the children will come with. We've got face painting. We've got entertainers around, and there's a bit of a themed treasure hunt as well.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's all good fun.
Sounds like a whole... And you pitched it just right. It's right in that middle of that holiday time that the kids
are
off.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. And it's so... I mean, when I was a kid, Halloween didn't really mean anything.
Mm.
You know, there wasn't a lot on, so it's become very, very important on the calendar.
Yes, yeah.
But for some of us, it's just annoying when people keep knocking on your door and saying trick or treat.
Fortunately, I can go to work every Halloween evening and not have to answer the door now.
No, but then you've got an event, so that's I'm guessing, you know, they wouldn't trick or treat there, though, would they?
That'd No.
That would be really silly to do, wouldn't it? So anything else you want to tell us about?
I think we're having a really good year this year. We've seen you know, a fairly steady number of visitors through the doors every day, and we're looking to again next year. So any suggestions are welcome. If anybody's got some ideas,
okay,
they can drop me an email and we'll have a look at those, because really we know what we do well, but what else could we be doing? Let's ask that question, perhaps.
See, I'm now worried that if I suggest an idea, you might be already doing it for Halloween because you're playing your cards close to your chest. So I'm very, you know, because I'm now thinking, if you're on a train and you're on that journey and you have a few pop-up things that light up on the way when you're looking at it, am I spoiling it?
No,
but it's just an idea. Well, you're going along there and all of a sudden you see these things at the window that are all lit up and they're quite scary. I'm just thinking that would be a good idea, wouldn't it?
Good, couldn't it? Yeah, that could work very nicely.
Not this year, though, but you have to do it next year.
Maybe for next year. Yeah.
And don't tell anybody. Yeah. We won't say anything.
No,
now,
top secret.
And
top secret.
Between now and then. it's really good. What does the weather, you know, just say, for instance, if you get a lot of hot times during the course of the summer, does it empty out? Is it busy? Which are your best times?
Weather-wise for us, overcast, it works very nicely, and if there's a little bit of drizzle in the air, that's even better.
Yeah.
We find ourselves, because although we are outdoor, everybody's undercover, apart from moving, you know, between parts of the attraction. So we're very much a wet weather attraction as well.
Yeah.
Sort of overcasty, drizzly weather is ideal for us. But on the hot sunny days, people will still come and enjoy a day, which is a little bit quieter.
I mean, for you to say that you've had a brilliant summer, because we've had quite a warm summer.
Mm.
And that suggests that it's still popular enough to say, right, okay, we're not going to go to the beach, we're going to go on the train like we said we were going to do. And I know it was really hot summer last year and things were great too. So
absolutely. Well, last year was a record-breaking year.
Yeah.
We've got to wait and see at the end of this year what the final figures look like. But we're not far away from where we were last year.
How brilliant is that?
And the weather has been, although it was much hotter at the early part of the summer last year, wasn't it? We've been more sort of... regular with the weather pattern, it's been a really good year again.
Okay, so on a normal week then, when do the trains run?
So through the summer, through those 3 months, we run every single day, whether it be one or two trains out. In the shoulders of the season, we tend to run on a Sunday and a couple of days midweek, perhaps.
On a Sunday?
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Again, you pitched it just right. Yeah. What do we do? Sunday. It's Sunday. Right. It's a family day. What
Sunday
should we
afternoon.
Do? When does that kick in, those times when you slow things down a little bit?
Well, we were open every day through September.
Yeah.
So there's daily running then. And then into October, that's when we start to sort of, I say wind down. We're not really winding down. We're just running fewer trains. So we're only open typically on a Wednesday and a Thursday during October, and then that Sunday day as well.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's really, really good to talk to you. Will you come back and tell us if you...
certainly come back, yeah.
You know, because there's a load of things that we didn't talk about. and there's... Not that.
Oh, sorry. Right, okay.
we probably only touched the surface, because there's so many other things to say. Look, congratulations on the award. And may there be many more coming your way, because it's well deserved. And you know, those people that work down there, 500 people give up their time to come down, and they must love it, they must enjoy it, and so on. And I still can't believe you've got 20 plus people that go in there and want to drive the engine,
which is
fantastic.
Yeah, that's right.
And me and Joe are going to come down and have a go at that.
Come and throw some coal around,
especially when there's cider.
Yeah. can't do the throwing the coal and the cider at the same time.
One on Saturday, one on Sunday.
Maybe.
Coal first.
That's put that in your diary. This Saturday and Sunday.
Cider and cheese weekend this weekend.
Cider and cheese.
Yeah.
And it's all weekend. Starts at 11.
Bars open at 11, yeah. Train's running all day. free admission to the cider and cheese. That's really important.
And what time does it finish?
Well, the trains will run until about... well, the last round trip's at 4 o'clock. The bar will be open a bit later than that.
Spot on.
You're not working the bar, are you?
Well, maybe, yeah.
Propping it up, maybe.
Not for the comment, right?
Hey, look, thanks for coming in.
Not at all, thanks for having me.
It's been a joy to talk to you again this lunchtime. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
And we'll see you very soon. And stand by, because on the way, waiting in the wings, they've just arrived. We've got Mummy Laura, we've got Son Archie, and Big John will be joining them later on as well. And there'll be a load of other people. I think Maggie Curry's in this afternoon talking about this, that and the other. Stay tuned, it's all coming your way very soon.